This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain. It's been a long old season, a very long old season, but we're finally at game week 38 plus. So here we are. It's all come down to this, the final game week. My name's Rich. I'm a commentator for Talk Sport, so I'd like to think I've got some football knowledge. Whereas Luke, you should know by now, game week 38. Finishing the top 10k last season, and I think you could well be on course for getting pretty close to that, couldn't you, mate?
Pretty close. Yeah. I don't think I'll get there this year, but the last few game weeks have been fantastic for me, and had another good one this week. Yeah, this is episode 48 of Triple Captain.
Is it? God,
yeah,
we're so keen, aren't we?
I think it is. Yeah. I don't know whether that's including our league in lockdown episodes. But yeah, we're close to the 50, so I have to do a little special. I'd imagine that will be our first pre-season episode, because we're going to do a season review after this, after game week 38 is finished, and then we'll obviously do a few pre-season episodes. So I'm guessing our first pre-season episode might well be episode 50. I can't believe we've done that many.
That's absolutely mental. They were saying on Sky Sports the other day about Wolves, that their season started, it was over a year ago Wolves' season started, because they started in, second qualifying round of the Europa League with a trip to Liechtenstein or something like that. And that's essentially what we've done. We've been going for a year in the first season. But what a first season for Triple Captain. Who could have seen this all unraveling as it did? But we've had some laughs. No, I was hoping somebody would come in there and agree with me, but never mind.
Yeah. So let's do our usual rundown of the penultimate game week of the season. How did you do, Rich? You did fantastically well again, didn't you, mate?
I did, yeah. I've had a really good end to the season, and I'm quite glad, because just before lockdown, I had a terrible, terrible game week where I dropped into the 225k or something like that. So I've managed to crawl back up the league table. So I'm currently sat at 62k. So I've had a pretty good game week, 90 points in total, which I'm pretty pleased with.
That's
the average
huge
is quite
for
high.
A single game week. That's a really big score.
I mean, with my bench boost the other week, I got 103, I think it was. So to have just a normal game week in at 90, I think this is my best normal game week. And to come at this time of the season is absolutely perfect. But yeah, I had Dubravka in goal. They had probably one of the worst games of the season in Newcastle Brighton, a solid 0-0, which is great for FPL. The back four did me pretty well. TAA, 13. Doherty at Wolves, 12. Van Dijk got a 1, but we won't talk about that. Peters got a 12, who were brought in this week. And then midfield, Captain De Bruyne, who came in with 12. Martial got 5. Fernandes only got 1. Jimenez with 5. Greenwood with 9. And Harry Kane delivering again, 13 points. And I actually meant to leave him in this week rather than completely missing the podcast and the deadline to do any transfers and accidentally keeping the armband on him like I did the other week. But he's paid off for me again this week. So I think I'll leave him in for the final game of the season. But yeah, a nice solid 90 points. And I'm top of the Radio X League, so I'm ahead of Toby Tarrant now, which is bloody brilliant, I've got to say. How about you? How did you get on? You had a good week, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'll just get onto that in a sec. But I think your Eric Peters, did you transfer him in this week?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Because I had Taylor, who's usually the first choice left back at Burnley. But he picked up a knock and he was just sat on the bench. And I thought, you know what? Peters is going to be a pretty much nailed on start because Burnley have so few players. I think most of Burnley's bench through the day was all academy players and that sort of thing who aren't even in FPL. So I was like, Peters has got to go into this team surely. And I think he assisted an own goal or something like that.
Yeah, it was a very, very lucky assist. Yeah, there was quite a few people that brought him in. I was just going to say that Peters' move was probably a perfect example of how you've progressed as an FPL player over this season. I mean, there's no way you'd have made that move, I think, in seasons past, is there? And I think the fact you've been presenting this, and it just shows if you take your time with FPL and, you know, spend a bit of time in making your decisions and looking at stats and looking at form and things like that, you can get a pretty good position at the end of the season. So 65k, you know, that top 50k is in sight, and for a debut season of properly taking it seriously, I think that's That's really going.
Absolutely. I mean, the target at the start of the season was to finish top 100K. I mean, obviously a lot can happen in the final game week, but I think it's just a good advert for the podcast if I manage to get into the top 100K. And if Ben can squeeze in as well, then I think that's an that should at least be a 5-star review from everybody listening to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm the producer. You guys are the presenters, so I don't mind being just slightly outside of that top 100K. I think I'm going to end up in the top 150 because I've got my free hit this week. I'm currently 170,000, but I've got my free hit to play on game week 38. Like a lot of people have got a free hit for game week 38. Yeah. So I'm really, I think, is that what we're going to focus?
Yeah, this is a free hit game week 38 special. So I think what we'll do is we'll do a little rundown of each fixture left to play and pick our top players from each fixture. We'll be helping Ben out with his free hit. And I think there's about 10% of managers on the game, which is a hell of a lot, actually, you know, over about 750,000 managers that still have the free hit chip left to play. So I think there's going to be a lot of movement in that final game week. So hopefully we can help you out and maybe get you to the top of your mini league. Quickly this week, I got 84. I'm really, nice. Really happy with that, with my team. I brought Salah in for KDB and I captained Salah, and Liverpool scored 5 goals and Salah did superbly well and got 1 assist. It was a brilliant watch, actually, because after United losing to Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final and obviously all the Champions League stuff going on, I really, really wanted Liverpool to spank Chelsea, and they didn't quite spank them, but they put 5 past them. So it was nice to see, actually. I enjoyed watching the game despite Salah. Again, he missed 2 or 3 brilliant chances, and you just think surely the goals are coming again for him. I think he's almost too desperate to score at the moment. He's almost trying too hard. So that was a bit of a frustrating watch. So he got 10 as my captain. Sterling again delivered just fantastically well with 17 points. And if I'd have captained him, you know, I'd be knocking on top 10K door now. So again, just that captain choice is the difference between my rank this season and last season. I got captain choice right so often last season. And I think that's key, really, which we'll probably talk about in the end of season review. Pulisic came off my bench with 9, which was fantastic that Saiss didn't play for Wolves. Johnny got 13 points. After Doherty's assist, I was really concerned about my rank. I thought, oh no. And then Johnny scored, so that was brilliant. Andy Robertson with a solid 5, somehow sneaked 1 bonus point after just getting 1 assist and conceding 3 goals.
Just, how has he done that?
Yeah, I think they need to change the BPS system. Antonio again delivering with a 9-pointer. Greenwood with 9 points. Ings with 4. Pope with 6. There was only Fernandez and Wan-Bissaka who didn't return for me with a point each. So that puts me at 23,912 overall going into the final game of the season.
Is that the highest you've been all season?
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good place to be.
Great time to do it. The mini leagues, I'm top of most apart from 2 of the mini leagues where, you know, not like the huge mini leagues with thousands of people in, but the ones with friends and stuff. The money league that we're in is so competitive. I'm only 4th in that. I think I'm 25 points off the top spot. I don't know if he's still got free hit, the leader, but I think it's going to be tough for me to get top spot there. I'm really happy at the moment. I'm slightly concerned that I don't have free hit for the final game week, but we'll talk about my team and see what happens for that final week.
Okay, so are we going to talk about the free hit first?
Yeah,
particularly because Ben has a free hit left.
Yeah, I think we should. Ben's got a free hit, and lots of managers in the community have saved their free hit chip for the final game week of the season, which I kind of wish I'd have done now, particularly as my free hit didn't go too well earlier. But it is what it is. And so I think, it'd be great to just run through each fixture, pick the players that we think would do well in a free hit team.
Triple Captain, the FPL podcast with top 10K finisher Luke Jurdy and TalkSport commentator Rich Wolfenden.
So let's kick off with Arsenal versus Watford. Anybody interesting you in that, Ben and Rich?
I've gone for Lacazette. over Aubameyang. I think that Arsenal are going to... Why have you put in that face?
Terrible decision to start your free hit off.
Why?
Because why? Lacazette might not play. You have to go... You have to pick nailed on starters, and there's a chance that Lacazette doesn't start that game.
Why? Why is there a chance that Lacazette doesn't
start it? I think it's because... It's Arsenal's last game of the season, and they honestly haven't got anything to play for, really, Arsenal. So they're probably going to play the likes of Willock, the likes of Nelson, that sort of thing. And I think it is a bit of a gamble, especially with the amount of money that Lacazette costs. Like, you get Jimenez, who's probably going to start for Wolves. I think he's the same price as Vardy.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah.
He's in a good bit of form. I'll give you that.
He's in a good bit of form. He scored a great goal the other day. Obviously, you know, against the mighty Aston Villa, couldn't do much, but that's not his fault. It's his opposition. I want three up front. For the last game week in the season, I want three up front. So I've got Kane, I've got Jesus, and I want another power striker up front because the last game, it's always full of goals, isn't it? The last game of the season.
100%.
So I want three up top. I want three up top, definitely. And in terms of who's going to score, I reckon... You know, Arsenal, Spurs, Man City, Liverpool, Burnley, they're probably the five teams to look at this week, aren't they? In terms of the fixtures, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the Arsenal one's difficult because they're playing Watford, and remember, Watford can still stay up, technically. So, you know, Watford could just be all guns blazing, properly going for it. And against Arsenal are one of those teams who can just fold and just kind of, throw in the towel in, the first half an hour. And that could well happen in that game because, like I said, they've got nothing to play for.
That's partly why, because I had Aubameyang in there, then I put Lacazette in just to save a bit of cash, because I think they're much of a muchness at the moment, those two. Aubameyang's been on fire since coming back from the restart. I mean, there is also that bit of kind of personal, I want to see Arsenal completely smash Watford because I'm desperate for Villa to stay up. So there's part of me that wants to put in an Arsenal striker so that I could be supporting... You know, Arsenal, not just from the kind of... It would just make Sunday amazing. You look at your FBL team, you see that the team you're up against in terms of relegation are getting smashed and yours are getting loads of points for it.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we said this before the podcast started recording, didn't we? This is... If you're in your position where you want to break into the top 100K and make a big climb up that ladder, I suppose you have to take gambles on players like Lacazette who won't be owned by a high percentage of players, and
2.4%.
Yeah, and then hope that, you know, like Aubameyang, Ings, Vardy, and hope that they don't perform. You know, it's a big gamble, but I suppose, you know, if it doesn't work out, you slide way down the table. But if it does work out, you'll fly way up the table. I don't know. If I was trying to play it steady, I wouldn't play Lacazette. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly that. I think if you're going to free hit it, and where, you know, in my position now, I'm 170,000. You know, if I slide 80,000 places in a week, I can say I ended up top 250K. But if I absolutely go for it with players who are not very much selected at all, I can break into the top 150. So that's what I've done with my team, to be perfectly honest. I've put in a load of players that you wouldn't necessarily, that aren't very highly owned.
But you've got to remember, the players that aren't highly owned is because they don't tend to deliver. that's the reason they're not highly owned.
But if they do, imagine if Lacazette smashes in two. If Lacazette gets a brace on Sunday.
Yeah. The problem with Lacazette, right, and I think you've made a few decisions like this. This isn't a criticism, but you've made a few decisions like this season where I feel like me and Rich have tried to warn you off players, but you're hell-bent on just putting these players in. And more often than not, it doesn't work out. Yeah. I think you should definitely have a couple of differentials in your free hit team. I agree, but there's no way you should be spending that much money on Lacazette for a free hit team. What I would be looking at is go for Jesus and Kane up front. We'll get onto this anyway as we go through more of the fixtures. But in terms of the Arsenal fixture, I completely agree with Rich. Watford are going to be scrapping for their lives. They've got players like Troy Deeney, who have been in the Premiership a long time, and he's a big Watford boy. You know, he's played there for a long time. He is going to be absolutely scrapping for his life in that fixture against Arsenal. And Arsenal have just played terribly against Villa. It was a brilliant performance from Villa, by the way. And I really want Villa to stay up, and I want Watford to go down because of how they treat their managers. I think it's a disgrace.
Everyone said the same thing.
But at the same time, you have to think in those terms. Arsenal have nothing to play for. They've got an FA Cup final coming up. It's going to be so easy.
They've got nothing to play for.
It's going to be so easy for Arteta to rest to rest players ahead of the FA Cup final, isn't it? It's going to be so easy. Imagine if he imagine if he starts with Lacazette and Aubameyang and they both get injured or something. I'm sure, you know, Lacazette may start, but it's far too much of a risk for that price.
It's a big roll of the dice.
If I was going to put anyone in, it would be Aubameyang, because he's still going for the golden boot, and he's their best player. But you're right, since the restart, there isn't much between them. I think Lacazette's got 36 and Aubameyang's got 37 points since the restart. So you're absolutely right, there's not a lot between them. But if I had to pick, it has to be Aubameyang out of those two.
I'd agree, just for the golden boot factor, because he won it last season, didn't he? Or he shared it last season, I think, didn't he? So presumably he'd like to get it. How far off top goal scorers is he? Let's have a look.
I think he's two. Is he two off?
Oh no, Vardy's got 23. Aubameyang's got 20, so...
Right, so he needs a hat-trick. So,
yeah, he needs...
I mean, perfect time to get Aubameyang in, but at the same time, I think... I don't think it's going to be a smash-in from Arsenal. I really don't. They're so inconsistent, and against those against those lesser teams, you know, I'd just be... To be honest, if I was on a free hit, I'd be staying away from Arsenal this game week.
Yeah, but Ben is looking stressed right now. We're only one fixture in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Watford, you know, first of all, that, you know, what a terrible decision that is with Pearson. Everyone thinks the same thing. You know, Man City destroy teams. Yes, of course they do. But they didn't even look like they were trying that hard and they were destroying Watford. I think the heads are down. Troy Deeney came off at, you know, he was watching for about 60 minutes, was it? Troy Deeney's also got a bloody Birmingham City tattoo on his leg and go himself.
True.
I don't know, I want to, like, literally, the only thing you ever hear, Troy Deeney talks about hating Villa more than he talks about playing for Watford.
Yeah, ridiculous. He does.
Anyway.
He does.
I don't know, I think you have got to take a gamble. And I know that there have been a few times I've taken a few gambles. Maybe it is Aubameyang. I think Arsenal will score goals, and I think Watford, their heads are down. I think Watford, they feel like... I mean, I'm not just... Maybe I'm saying this because I'm just hoping that this is as a Villa fan, but I think Watford are down. I really believe now that Villa could
I wouldn't put it past Watford to beat Arsenal on that final day. Yeah. I really wouldn't. I mean, especially bold. After that Villa game.
But when they want to bounce back?
Yeah.
When is the FA Cup final? When is that?
I think it's early August, isn't it? So they'll have a bit of a rest. But at the same time, that's the silverware. Arsenal have nothing to play for now. They have to win the FA Cup and then they'll get Europa League next season. So everything is going to be behind that. But, you know, if you genuinely think Arsenal are going to score goals, then put Aubameyang in your team. Don't go for Lacazette.
Yeah, I think if you wanted to gamble in that game on a player, you wanted a differential, I'd say Deeney is a better differential than Lacazette, because if Watford are going to score more than likely...
He's on penalties.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll want to be the hero, won't he, as well?
Exactly. He's the man who always steps up for Watford. So if you wanted a differential in that game, I'd honestly go for Deeney. I know it's not what you want to hear, but from a point of view.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's move on to the next fixture. But I think we're safe to say from that one, listeners, Aubameyang is our choice from Arsenal. Lacazette is Ben's choice as a differential. He's not mine and Rich's choice.
It's not the thoughts of triple captain.
And if you really, really, really want to put your neck on the line, then maybe Troy Deeney could be a shout. So let's move on. Next fixture is Burnley versus Brighton. So we've got to be looking at the Burnley defence here, haven't we, Rich? Yes. What do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%. I was just looking at their defenders beforehand, actually. And obviously, Burnley have got such an issue with injuries and lack of players on who actually signed up to the club and that sort of thing at the moment. So I was looking. I've already got Peters in, who at 4.2 million. Actually, he might have gone up in price. He's 4.3 now, but still pretty cheap. Plays out on the left, got his assist at the weekend. There's no reason why I couldn't do it again against Brighton. And I was thinking of bringing in Kevin Long, who is honestly probably one of the worst defenders in the Premier League that I've ever seen. But he's going to start, and he's up against Brighton, who just can't score goals. So I'm thinking he might be a player to bring in. Who do they play at right back?
Is it Bardsley?
Yeah, it's Bardsley, who again, 4.4, he could be a shout. But again, one of the worst defenders I've ever seen in the Premier League. But Burnley managed to keep clean sheets somehow as a collective. So yeah, it's probably going to be Long or Bardsley coming in. But then again, for this game week, I don't really want to bring in defenders. I want to bring in attacking players who get a return.
If you were on a free hit, though, what would you be bringing in? Yeah.
If it was on a free hit, I'd bring in Peters for sure. And then if you wanted to bring in another Burnley defender, I'd probably bring in Long. That's what I'd go with.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. Apart from, of course, the goalkeeper, the number one goalkeeper in FPL right now, it's Nick Pope.
Oh, yeah.
I think you've got to get him in your team for this one. He is chasing that clean sheet. I don't know if it's a clean sheet record in the Prem or it's just to win the Golden Glove. I'm not sure about that. If we
most clean sheets in a season.
Yeah. But because I know after the game against Norwich, Chris Wood was interviewed and said that Burnley are going to be doing everything they can to keep that clean sheet in the final game of the season for Nick Pope so that he can get the record. So I presume that means just to win the Golden Glove rather than most clean sheets in a season. But correct me if I'm wrong. I think you can't go wrong.
God, I hope so, because I've gone triple Burnley.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I think it's a bold move. That's the type of risk that you want to be taking if you want to move up the rankings.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will have one Burnley defender. A lot of people will have two Burnley defenders. There won't be many that have got three. So I think if you go Nick Pope and two cheap Burnley defenders, that is an absolute bargain for the rest of your free hit team that week.
Who are you thinking, Ben, from Burnley? Pope and goal.
Well, I've gone Pope, Peters, and at the moment Tarkowski's in there.
I think Tarkowski's a good choice. Kind of, I think Tarkowski's
his attacking returns. Yeah. You know, he's by far out of all the Burnley defenders, 142 points over the season. The next closest is me with 110.
Didn't know you played for Burnley.
Oh, no, Ben me. Ben me. I mean, the other option is Kevin Long, but
would you not rather go for Long for because you save £1 million if you
well
go
you
for
save
Long
1.2 you save
1.2
I just
then,
I like Tarkovsky. I think I can see Tarkovsky getting a goal, to be honest. He's that kind of player, like, and you know what, if you can get that from I think that's worth the punt, Tarkovsky.
Yeah. So I think we're positive about a Burnley double up, even a Burnley triple up. We think they're going to keep a clean sheet against Brighton, mainly because of Pope's record this season, and they're really hoping for that final clean sheet. And also, like you say, Brighton just don't score goals. Yeah, they're not particularly exciting to watch. And Burnley have been great at keeping clean sheets this season, haven't they? So,
yeah, they have. I mean, all season.
Especially at home.
Yeah, I mean, all season, I think Brighton have probably been the team that I've had players selected from the least. Like, I can't think at one point when I've had a Brighton player in my team. Like, I know people had Mope for a little while in the season, but I've not had any players from that team in my team at all, and I wouldn't do it for the final day.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Please subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode.
Right then, lads, should we move on to Chelsea Wolves at Stamford Bridge?
I think this could be, because there's always one game, final day of the season, there's always one game. This could well be the one where the floodgates just open, because we know Wolves like to attack, we know Chelsea like to attack, and both teams, like you say, are fighting for something. So this could well be the game where it ends up being like a 4-3 or a 5-4 or something like that. So the only question is, who do you get in? I think with Wolves, it's quite obvious that the attacking players that you want, Jimenez has got to be top of that list. But with Chelsea, it's kind of difficult. I mean, I brought Giroud in like at the start of lockdown. I remember we were like giggling because we brought Giroud in. But he's been really good for them for the past few weeks. And I regret taking him out a couple of weeks back because I think he scored 3-3 or 2-3.
Yeah, so I think I disagree with you, Rich, on the high scoring Chelsea Wolves game. I think it will be tight. I think Wolves have got a brilliant defence. I think they were unlucky on a couple of occasions where they conceded like 96th minute goals. And they're such a competitive team. I can't imagine that they're going to allow a lot of goals in from Chelsea. I've got Pulisic, and he was so good when he came on last night against Liverpool. I was thinking I might transfer him out ahead of this game, but after that performance, I think he's got to start against Wolves, and he's their key player. So I'll be keeping Pulisic, but I'm not sure I'd bring him in if I was on a free hit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but I'm still unsure because I've had Willian in and he's been delivering the goods for me over the past few weeks. I benched him this week and he got a four. I don't know how he got four. Did he get an assist? Did he get a bonus or something? I don't know. But
he got an assist against Liverpool.
Did he? Yeah. So he's done well over the past few weeks. So I know, I feel like with Willian and Pulisic, like, it is a bit of a toss up between who's going to perform one week and who's not. But I think Pulisic probably, if I was doing a free hit, I think Pulisic would probably just edge it if I had to pick out of the two of them.
Yeah. So yeah, we like Pulisic from Chelsea. Giroud could be a good shout, but again, I wouldn't put him in on a free hit. And in terms of Wolves, again, if I was on a free hit this week, I probably wouldn't go for any Wolves options. I think Chelsea are good in attack. They're poor in defence, as we saw last night against Liverpool, where they conceded five, but they also scored three. So I wouldn't necessarily be putting Wolves defenders in my team. And I wouldn't gamble on a free hit on like Jimenez or Traore or anyone this week. I've got Johnny and Saïss, and at the moment I'm going to play Johnny because of his potential attacking returns. But I don't expect Wolves to keep a clean sheet. I hope they do, and I hope they beat Chelsea as a United fan. But I can't see either team keeping a clean sheet in this one. So yeah, let's move on, as yeah, we're waffling a bit, aren't we?
As has Ben got any Wolves or Chelsea players in his
free? No, I mean Dendonka on the bench just because he's 4.4. But that's it. No, I think that's going to be a stalemate. I know, like, we've just seen that massively high scoring game with Liverpool Chelsea last night. Like, I don't know. I agree with Luke there. I reckon it might even just be a real boring. No, I reckon it's going to be a really like a low scoring draw.
I don't think it'll be boring. I think it'll be tense for Chelsea, because obviously it depends what happens in the Leicester United game, which will obviously be played at the same time. But yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, Chelsea's defence are terrible, but then Wolves don't score a lot of goals. So, yeah. Crystal Palace Spurs.
Yes. So in this game, I mean, Crystal Palace, I mean, we say Brighton can't score. Jesus Christ, Palace, have they scored one goal in six games or something like that? They are absolutely atrocious when it comes to scoring goals. And for that reason, I was thinking of bringing in Serge Aurier. Because I'm pretty confident that Crystal Palace won't score against Tottenham. I've got Kane in. He's going to remain because he's in great form. So I don't think I'll be dropping him anytime soon. But yeah, if there was a free hit in this game, again, it's a tough one to call. But maybe a Tottenham defender and maybe Harry Kane, if you wanted to invest that much money into a striker. What would you do, Luke?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think Aurier could be a good option. I'd be surprised if Palace scored. And obviously, with Aurier, you've got the attacking return threat as well. Palace have been pretty poor defensively recently. They've conceded 9 goals in their last 4 games, which is joint second most in the league, whereas Spurs have only conceded 2 goals in their last 4 games. The Palace, I thought they'd be higher, actually. They've conceded 54 shots in the last 4 games, compared to Brighton, who have conceded 79 shots. Norwich 73 and Spurs have actually conceded 68, but then on target they're a bit less. Palace have conceded the joint most shots on target in the league in the last 4 games. They've conceded 25 shots on target, so I'd be looking at Kane. I'd be looking at Son as a real. Son could be a really nice differential for this game, as could Harry Kane.
Yeah, but Son is just such a letdown, isn't he? Every time I bought Son in this season, he's done nothing. And then you take him out and you get cross because for 1 week, the week after you've taken him out, he'll then do something. And then he just goes quiet again for ages.
Isn't that just your bad luck, though?
Yeah, I don't think you should go on kind of what's happened before. I think just look at this fixture alone. Son, in his last 3 games, he got 13 against Arsenal, he got 8 against Newcastle, he got 6 against Leicester, and he's playing Crystal Palace. I think he could be your man. Rather than Lacazette, why don't you look at someone
same
like Son,
price,
who is 8.3% owned? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could.
If you've
do
got
that.
Kane, I think Kane's a great option. He was so good against Leicester. His finishing,
that second
superb.
Goal. Where he like bent it
he
in.
Looked back to his
oh,
best.
Oh my, he looked
didn't
so
he?
So good. That was his like 22nd goal of the season as well. And I'm like, he missed about 10 weeks, and how has he got 22 goals in this season?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think Kane is a great option for free hit. And you know, I would say to people, try to forget that Palace are normally very solid at the back. They haven't been since the restart. like I say, conceded 9 goals in their last 4 games. Spurs are playing well. You have to give it to Spurs. They were brilliant against Leicester. Yeah. They've had a couple of wins, haven't they? They beat Arsenal. So I think it's a great fixture for them. I'd maybe be thinking Aurier and Kane and Son.
I'm thinking Son now as well, because was it 2 seasons ago? I think they played Leicester in the final game of the season and it finished off 6-4 or something like that. And I was commentating on it for TalkSport and I was just like in disbelief of what was going on. And I feel like Tottenham could well be that team again on the final day. They get a handful of goals. So Kane for me is definite for your team there, Ben.
Yeah, this is the one I'm nervous about, not having a free hit, and I haven't got any Spurs options. Mm. This is the fixture that I'm nervous about, because I think, yeah, you're right, Rich. There could be goals galore for Spurs in this one. But it depends, doesn't it? It's a Jose Mourinho team, so anything can happen.
But they've got no reason to sit back and defend in this game. They might as well, you know, go for it. Why the hell not?
True. But it is Mourinho, so cue a 1-0 win with an older Wirel header to win it. Like that.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review to help more people discover us.
Let's move on to Everton and Bournemouth.
Yes. So Bournemouth, obviously, they could technically still stay up. They're 3 points behind, and I think they've got a worse goal difference than both Watford and Villa. So they need a little bit of a miracle. But they just don't seem to have like any fight in them like at all. But did they win the last game? No, they got a draw, didn't they?
They lost.
Oh, they lost to Southampton. The
they got that last minute equaliser, and then it got ruled out, and then whoever they
that
were
was it Southampton. Southampton went up the other end.
Yes,
and
then Southampton scored. Yeah, because that was because the game week's been so long. That's why we can't remember. But that was the game where Danny Ings scored and then missed a penalty. Yeah. I think we can pretty much go quickly over this fixture, can't we? There's no interest here for me.
Not really. I mean, if you really wanted a differential, maybe Richarlison. I mean, Calvert-Lewin's not been in great form of late, so Richarlison is probably the man.
Did you see that interview with Calvert-Lewin where the interviewer said, I've got 3 hit left to play on my fantasy team. Shall I put you in? And Calvert-Lewin went, yes, I'm doing
that. Good lad. I mean, he's looked absolutely atrocious over the past few weeks. So if you had to, Richarlison in this fixture, there's nobody at Bournemouth who really stands out. Yeah, it's a bit of a... It's probably the most boring fixture for the final day, I think, this one. Up the Blues. We like to be a bit dull. All right, should we move on to the next fixture then? Leicester City v Manchester United. What are we saying for this one then, Luke?
Again, I think it's going to be tense. I think it's going to be cagey. I think if it's 0-0 and Chelsea are losing 2-0 or something to Wolves with 10 minutes to go, you would not be surprised to see both teams just passing it amongst themselves, knowing that they're both going to qualify for Champions League. That's what I'd do. I mean, chuck sportsmanship out the window. We've got to get Champions League football next season.
That's fair enough. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I think, again, this is where players on free hit might have an advantage, because most teams have got 3 Man United players. And United, again, last night were poor, really, really poor. It was an awful game of football. I mean, what on earth Paul Pogba was doing for that penalty, I have no idea. Absolutely just pathetic. And just the performance itself just wasn't very good. So I wouldn't be backing United in this one. And again, I think if you're on a free hit, I think you could probably go without all 3 of them.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to climb the rankings, because there's going to be a lot of players like myself left with 3 United. Yeah. And I'm actually thinking of getting rid of Fernandes for this.
Oh, are you really? Okay.
He's been really poor.
Has he? I mean,
well, he was really poor last night. Load. He just tries. Sometimes he tries to do too much. I think he's a fantastic player, but I think he's trying to find that winning pass all the time. And quite often, if it doesn't come off, he's got, you know, he's misplacing a lot of them. So
I get that.
I'm thinking of moving Fernandes on. I wouldn't have him in a free hit.
It's so difficult, because I mean, Martial. I mean, he's not going to get the golden boot, but I think he's got like 17 goals or something for himself this season. So I think I was to leave anybody in, it would probably be Martial. But like you say, it's weird how it changes so quickly over just a couple of weeks. How we were saying, you've got to have triple United. Like, on a free hit this game week, you're probably more likely to do triple Burnley than triple United, which is quite strange.
Yeah, and And it's partly because they're playing Leicester and because of all the, you know, the permutations of what might happen in this game. And I think, I mean, Leicester are probably going to be going for it. United might be playing on the counter-attack. You just don't really know. There's kind of quite a lot of variables. And I just think, yeah, the same things happened to United as last time they went on a big unbeaten run. You kind of think, oh, yeah, get them in, get them in. I remember Paul Pogba from last season. Everybody had him in their team. And then suddenly there was this huge dip in form. And it's happened at completely the wrong time for United. They just look exhausted. So, I mean, hopefully they can get themselves up for this game. I mean, it'd be devastating if we don't qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah, which is mad.
So it's a huge, huge match.
I mean, it's mad that you're saying that considering like how yous were playing at the start of the season. I remember we started one podcast where you just had like a 7-minute rant about Manchester United.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you'd have offered me third place... Yeah. At this stage of the season with one game to go, I'd have absolutely snapped your hand off. But yeah, just the form isn't great. Nah. So yeah, maybe Martial. I mean, if you're on a free hit, I mean, and you need some money to spend elsewhere, then Greenwood is a perfect option. He scored again last night. He played really well last night. He was the kind of one bright spark. Yeah. So you wouldn't bet against him banging it in again.
So I'm just trying to think for this game then. Is it more likely that Leicester are going to come at Manchester United or are Manchester United going to have to play against Leicester? Because this could be quite decisive because both teams obviously benefit from having a quick counter-attack.
Vardy's on for the golden boot.
Well, Leicester have to win.
Leicester have to win. Yeah.
Leicester have to win. Yeah. Well, they don't. I mean, if we draw and Chelsea lose to Wolves, then Leicester and United will get Champions League because Leicester have got a way better goal difference than Chelsea. So
that's a tough one, mate.
But you know they're going to be going into this game thinking that they have to win, and United only need a draw.
It's so difficult.
So it is a really difficult fixture, and that's why I just tend to think if I was on a free hit, maybe just avoid it.
But then again, it's like you say, Vardy's going for that golden boot because I really want to get Vardy in just for that reason. Oh, I'm going to have to think about this now. This is hard.
It's tricky. FPL is tricky.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at Triple Captain 3.
City versus Norwich.
Okay, City versus Norwich. So, the past few weeks, the only player I've had in from Manchester City has been Kevin De Bruyne. And I've had him in all season, but I think I might take him out for this fixture. But I know they're playing Norwich and it's a stupid thing to do. But I just think I need to reinvest in Sterling and bring him in. But I don't know if I've missed the boat with Sterling. This could be the game where he gets absolutely zero. I don't know. Am I mad bringing out Kevin De Bruyne?
I have. I've taken out De Bruyne and I've packed in David Silva, Mahrez, and I've put the captain's armband on Jesus.
Crikey. Okay, you've gone for it there then.
Yeah, I think if you're on a free hit, you have to have three City attackers in your team for this game. The top attacking team for stats in the league since the restart are City by a mile. The top defensive team, as in the worst defensive team in the league since the restart, are Norwich. It's a match made in heaven. Norwich have conceded 73 shots in their last four games. That's top by 13. That's not top, but it's second to Brighton, who've conceded 79. They've conceded 54 shots in the box, 25 shots on target. They've conceded 13 big chances and City are just like, you know what they're like against teams like this. It's David Silva's last game. So, I mean, take your pick.
Yeah.
Pep said before the game against Watford that he will try and make sure that all of his players get to play in the final two games. Mahrez and David Silva didn't start against Watford, so you'd expect both of them to start. De Bruyne is going for the assist record. Sterling is going for, if he scores four, he equals Jamie Vardy's record. You would not bet against Sterling bagging four goals in this one. If he starts. And that's the problem. There is a great Twitter account called FPL Scarface who releases team news slightly earlier than the deadline.
How does he do that?
So if he does that this week and he says that he's hoping that he gets early Man City team news, wait till that deadline and then bring in two or three City starters.
Okay. How does he get the team news? I want to know this. Scarface.
He's obviously got a contact somewhere. I don't know. He won't reveal his source, but every early team news that he's done so far has been correct. So what I'm going to be doing, I'm not on a free hit, but what I'm going to be doing is waiting till, you know, 10, 15 minutes before the deadline. If he comes up with early team news and says, you know, David Silva and Mahrez are starting, then I'll be bringing one of them in at least. I've already got Sterling. And if he says that Sterling starts, then captain has to go on Sterling, really, I think, against Norwich. Although I may put it on Salah against Newcastle, but we'll come on to that. I think, you know, got to get through City.
What about defensive options for City? What do you think about Garcia? Because presumably they'll keep a clean sheet against this Norwich team. You've got to say.
Yeah, but then there's other teams that could keep clean sheets. City might win this 6 or 7.
Yeah, now. You wouldn't really be thinking of any defensive options there, now. What about Cancelo?
No, I wouldn't. If there were 4 or 5 City spots, then yeah, definitely. Yeah. But as there isn't, then no, I would just go City attack.
Fair enough. Okay. And you say you're putting the captain's armband on Jesus, Ben?
I am indeed, mate. I am indeed.
He's quite unpredictable, though, don't you think?
Yeah, but I think he's better against the smaller teams, and I can see him bagging a few. Like, in terms of, I was just having a quick look back at his previous form. So, last few weeks, against Bournemouth, goal. Against Brighton, goal. I know they scored 5. Against Newcastle, goal. Against Southampton, yellow card and only got 1 point. But, you know, I think the last few weeks he's definitely found his feet, and I think last game of the season.
Oh God, there's too many things to think about for this final game week. This is agonising.
He's a frustrating player to own, Jesus, because he misses a lot of chances. Yeah. And I would rather captain a midfielder if I was on free hit, just because they get a point more for goals and they get a point more for clean sheets. You expect City to keep a clean sheet. A top differential captain for me would be Mahrez this week.
Yeah, that could be a shout.
Jesus's stats are great. He's 15 shots in the last 4 games, 14 of those in the box.
Yeah.
Only Vardy betters him on those stats. He's had 5 big chances. His goal conversion rate is 20%, which isn't actually too bad. He's 97 minutes per goal. And he's got 3 goals in his last 4 games. So Jesus is a, if I was on a free hit, I think Jesus would probably be in there for me.
Good shout.
Along with Kane.
Cool. All right, let's move on to the next fixture then. Newcastle against Liverpool. What are we saying in this game?
Well, I've got Salah, and I think not many people have got him now, particularly people in the top 10K haven't got Salah anymore. So I think in terms of a differential, he could be nice. And I'm close to captaining him. I think he's so due a goal. He's missed so many chances in his last 3 games. And obviously he's got the assist threat as well. So I think Salah is a good option. And obviously if you've got, you know, Andy Robertson, Alexander Arnold, I think defensively Liverpool be a good option. Yeah. What about you?
At the moment, I've got Van Dijk and Alexander Arnold sat in there, which, you know, they've not really... Well, Alexander Arnold's delivered. Van Dijk hasn't really delivered. So because there's so much money invested in that defence, I'm going to have to get rid of one of them. Oh, which is so annoying, because I think I'm going to have to bring in Sterling now. So I think I might have to sacrifice Alexander Arnold, which is not what I really want to do, but because he takes up so much money and I want to get Sterling in, who costs so much money. He's going to have to be cut out of the team, I think, which is a real shame. And just because I don't want to take a hit of -4, I think I'm going to have to leave Van Dijk in. But I know what you mean about Salah. He's so due a goal, and He's got to get one against Newcastle. I think historically that Newcastle are one of those teams who Liverpool always tend to beat as well. All the stars are pointing towards a Liverpool win here. And, you know, it's the first season they've won the Premier League. So they're going to want to go out with a bang on the final day of the season, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Salah, if you've got a free hit, is a must. But I'm just kind of stuck in the mud with my 2 Liverpool defenders at the moment, which is kind of irritating. But
yeah, it was really nice owning Salah again last night, because the amount of chances he has, it's really exciting to watch him. And in his last 4 games, he's had 21 shots on goal. That's top.
That's mental.
That's better than Antonio now. He's had 19 shots in the box. He's had 8 big chances. where he's suffering at the moment is his finishing.
Yeah.
His goal conversion rate is 9.5%, whereas Raheem Sterling's goal conversion rate is 46.2%.
Whoa. Well, I was just going to ask you, who would you rather have out of Sterling or Salah?
For this one, if I had to pick, I would go Sterling because City are playing Norwich and Sterling is on absolute fire at the moment. But if Salah improves his finishing, he could get three or four a game.
You can see him doing it on the last day.
He's just a monster for stats. He really is. Like he's top of everything every season. I'd be getting him in on a free hit for sure.
God, I don't know what to do. All right. What about you, Ben? You got any Liverpool players in? Or Newcastle players, obviously.
I've got Salah and I've got Alexander Arnold. I think I'm happy with just those two. I don't think I need to triple up on Liverpool.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Get in touch on email. triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
All right, let's move on to Southampton versus Sheffield United. Danny Ings, surely everybody's looking at Danny Ings for this weekend.
Yeah, I've got him in my team. Very glad to own him. He just looks like he's going to score every time he gets near the goal. I think he's a great option. Sheffield United's defence is pretty solid, but you wouldn't bet against Ings scoring.
Not really. I mean, Sheffield United haven't looked great. I mean, I did the game, the Everton game the other day, actually, where somehow Everton managed to come away with a winner. And once they went 1-0 down Sheffield United and they had to open up, they just completely lost the middle of the park. Like, they had no midfield presence. And Everton have the most terrible midfield presence in Tom Davis and Andre Gomes. And they overwhelmed Sheffield United's midfield, which is really saying something for Sheffield United. So in terms of attacking returns for Sheffield United, there's nothing really. Like, I don't know who you'd have for an attacking return from Sheffield United.
Would you play their defenders if you had them in your team and you weren't playing free hit this weekend?
Maybe. I mean, Stevens looks all right going forward. There's nobody at Sheffield United who really ticks any boxes for me. Henderson's been great throughout the season, but even now there's better keepers available than him. I'd stay away. The only player really who you should be focusing on in this fixture is Danny Ings. That's all you should be looking at, really.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. What about you, Ben? Any interest in Ings for your free hit?
Literally, throughout this whole podcast, I've just been changing my free hit team. Lacazette, we have to know, is no longer anywhere near my team, and Danny Ings is in because he's going to want that golden boot, isn't he? So I'm going to start Jesus, Kane and Ings up top. Not interested in anyone else in that fixture.
I think that's a good decision.
I think it's a good decision as well.
Happy with that.
Okay, let's have a look at the final fixture, the big fixture, some people on this podcast might call it. West Ham United versus Aston Villa. The Battle of the Clarets, what are you saying, Ben?
I am sorry, but I know you're going to tell me to take him out. Did you watch Villa Arsenal? My God,
no.
Jack Grealish was on another level. Like, we haven't seen that Jack Grealish since the restart. We did see him at the start of the season. Listen, when Grealish is on one, he's on one. And his assist, like, the amount of balls that he was putting in the box were fantastic. What I really, really hope happens against West Ham is that, because I think Villa can score goals. I know West Ham are having a really good run, but I know that Villa can score goals past them. And we looked at the, just before the Arsenal game, it showed us, Bournemouth and Norwich and Watford as well. And it showed that Villa by far scored more goals than the rest of those teams. We conceded a lot of goals, and that's been our main problem this season. Our defence have really let us down. But when Super Jackie Grealish is on one, mate, he was running rings around people. The balls he was putting in, I just really hope that they don't start, that Dean Smith doesn't start Samatta and starts Keenan Davis up front against West Ham. And I think Jack Grealish, he's probably off to United. He's going to get assists and goals on Sunday, Grealish.
But it's such a gamble for your fantasy team. Ben, I don't want to burst your bubble, but he's not had an assist since game week 26 and he's not had a goal since game week 23. Mate, that's a long goal time.
I agree.
It's such a gamble.
I don't care. You should have seen how he played against Arsenal. He was stunning. So look, if the same Jack Grealish, and he will, the same Jack Grealish that performs in the playoff finals back end of last year, the same Jack Grealish that played against Arsenal, when the pressure's on and he's playing for his boyhood team, if he's on it, to, I can see him really getting some good, like, he could keep us in the Premier League. And yeah, I know it's a bit of kind of passion and heart, and I want him in my team because he's a Villa boy and everything else, but I really can. I can totally see Jack Grealish.
To be fair, really well, it's what you need. It's like what we were saying about Watford and Deeney. Like, Deeney's the man who always does it for Watford. If anyone's going to do it for Villa, it's probably going to be Jack Grealish. And if the stadium was full and they stayed up on the last day, you can guarantee that he'd be the player getting lifted up into the air by the fans who've invaded the pitch. But such a gamble. But this is the sort of thing that can happen on the last day of the season. So I can kind of see where you're coming from. He won't be in my team. And if I was doing a free hit, he probably wouldn't be in my team. But I can see where you're coming from with that sort of spiel.
He won't be anywhere near my team. He wouldn't be anywhere near my free hit team. If Villa win, it'll be by one goal. It'll be 1-0. And if I was going for anyone, if I was on a free hit, I've just done a draft free hit team. If I was on a free hit and Antonio made the cut, I'd be putting Antonio in against Villa. He's in the form of his life. He's scored in pretty much every game.
That was such a good transfer when you brought him in. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, it was his stats, to be honest. His stats were great. And I thought he's going to bang. And it was one of those decisions that where stats and form actually made it a good decision. So I was really pleased with that. But yeah, I think, if you want to rank rise in your final game week, particularly if you want to hit that 100K, you've got to use that fifth midfield spot. Take out, enjoy the Villa game without worrying about what Grealish is doing in your FPL team. Just enjoy the game. Try and enjoy the game, and just get someone better
than
Grealish.
What do you reckon about Trezeguet? I'd have Trezeguet over Grealish, you know.
Without Trez, we wouldn't be here. Like, he's done an absolutely fantastic job the last few games. Like, he's got a great finish on him. That goal against Arsenal was an absolute cracker. Like, Mings just flicked it across with his head and then just booted it right into the bottom right corner. Like, he's a cracking player, Trez, and I can see him doing it again for sure.
Do you want to hear some maths that I've just done? So
I want to hear some maths.
Since game week 26, Jack Grealish has got 29 points. Over the last three games, Trezeguet has got 29 points. So surely... Yeah. Trezeguet is the standing over Grealish.
What you got to think as well, if it's 0-0... If it's 0-0 with 15 minutes to go and Wolves are losing Watford are losing against Arsenal, Villa aren't going to go for it. Jack Grealish isn't going to suddenly pop up and be desperate to score or get an assist. They're going to hold out for that 0-0. Because even if Watford then got the draw, Villa would still stay up because of their goal difference. So Villa could even lose.
It's only,
Villa could be losing 1-0 and Watford could be losing 3-0 to Arsenal. Villa will just keep it at 1-0. Won't they? They're not gonna go mad. Like, I think
you say that. But against Arsenal, we went for it again. We were going for more goals. So I don't know, mate.
That's because you needed to win. You needed to beat Arsenal. Whereas you don't need to
beat.
Yeah,
but what I mean is we didn't sit back
necessarily.
We're not a good. We concede so many goals, and I have to say our defense, especially with Konsa in there.
That last 10 minutes was very nervy. It didn't look like we were going for it to me. It looked like Arsenal were attacking. Yeah. But
I'm sorry. Super Jack is in my team, and you can't.
Terrible decision.
Join the Triple Captain Mini League. League code JLM166.
Right, I'm going to lock mine in.
Okay, so you're locking it in now. You're not making any changes until the deadline in a day or so.
No.
Okay, run us through your final free hit team then.
Okay, Benfica. I'm going 3-4-3. Yeah, Benfica, I'm going 3-4-3. Pope in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Aurier and Tarkowski.
Yeah,
then
good.
Salah, David Silva, Mahrez and Super Jackie Grealish is going to do it for Villa and I cannot wait. And then up front, Kane, Ings and Jesus. Captain Armband on Jesus and Vice on Kane.
Okay.
To no Sterling.
No, because I've got three. No,
you've invested in Salah more than Sterling, haven't you?
Yeah,
but I mean, this is the thing, though. You've got to take that gamble. And like you said, Luke, like the players in the top 10K don't have Salah in their team, so Ben can make a move towards them. I know it's a bit of a
listen
long
in terms
way off,
of
but...
in terms of differential. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Pope and Alexander Arnold. Aurier is only 7% selected. Tarkowski 8.6% selected. David Silva 7.5, Mahrez 10.1, Grealish 14.3. Yeah, okay, but Kane's only 12. Ings is obviously highly selected, 31. Jesus only 8%. So there's a nice balance there of quite like if You got to hope that the David Silvers and the Jesus of this world bang.
You know what? You've had really bad luck throughout this season with your timing of your wild card and your triple captain and the whole Lundstrom fiasco. So I think this is probably where all your luck's going to wrap up and it's going to arrive. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Let's see.
Knock on wood.
All I would say is turn your tweet notifications onto FPL Scarface. And if he reveals the early team news for City and one of those players aren't starting, just whip them out and put someone that is starting in.
Yeah. And when does he release the team news? How early before the deadline usually?
It's only about 5 to 10 minutes before the deadline. Okay. So you have to act quickly. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait right up until that deadline. I'm going to have my transfers ready. Okay. And I think if Mahrez starts, then I will be bringing him in for Bruno Fernandes.
Okay, so that deadline will be 3 o'clock on Sunday because everything's a 4 o'clock kickoff for some reason. But yeah, 3 o'clock is the deadline on Sunday afternoon. Oh, the final deadline of the season. It's been stressful, hasn't it?
It has. And I hope we can. I mean, I think I'm 30 points off top 10K and 29 points off top 50k, as in I'm 29 points ahead of top 50k. So it could go either way for me in this final game week. I'm hoping I can consolidate and keep my top 25k.
That would be great,
but I think it will be tough with all the free hits. I think
well, you never know, fingers crossed, it could happen. I would like to go into the top 50k, but I'm quite happy just to finish in the top 100k. If I drop out the top 100k, I'll be absolutely gutted. But you know what, it's been a good season nonetheless, and yeah, let's hope for a good final return on the final game week. 38 plus. Any more for any more? Oh, we're probably going to do one more episode, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to do a season review.
End of season awards.
We'll do that as well. End of season awards, I think, just to put this out there into the, you know, positive thinking, my wish list for the final game week is Rich to hit top 50k, me to remain in the top 25k, Ben to get to top 100k, United to qualify for Europe, and Villa to stay up.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would be so nice.
I've got a few points to make up. I'm 30 points off the top 100k. But who knows? Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Good luck, everyone.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, by the way, please do give us a review on Apple Podcasts if you're listening on there. And if you're not, then just send us nice things to @TripleCaptain3 on Twitter.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Big Pod Quiz.
Hello, my name is Charlie, and welcome to the Big Pod Quiz, a pub quiz in podcast form. Every week, we invite a special guest onto the quiz to take part in 5 rounds of pod quiz action. We bring the pub to you every Thursday at 7 p.m, so make sure you've got your beers chilled and your thinking caps ready to go head-to-head with some of the country's favourite musicians, sports commentators, radio hosts, and whoever else will do it for free. So, here's a quick taster of how it sounds. Question 1. What is the best podcast quiz available on all major podcast platforms? That's right, it's the Big Pod Quiz. Honestly, mate, who wrote this? This is the cheesiest thing that I've ever had to read.
Listen now on your chosen podcast app.